Amrita, Part 1, Chapter 7, Purna, the Complete Perfection. Krishna and Balaram. Balaram has gone ahead. They are in New Vrindavan. And this drama has been arranged by Lord Brahma. Krishna is thinking in this state of semi-consciousness. In other words, he's partly in external and partly in internal consciousness. He's thinking that he's back in Vrindavan. So he has just interacted with his mother and father and with the gopis. And now he is on his way to catch up with Lord Balaram and the cowherd boys to tend the cows in the forest. Actually, there are no cows, there are no cowherd boys. It's only a drama. But Krishna is convinced, and in this way, Lord Brahma has devised this extremely brilliant plan to bring Krishna back to his original consciousness so that he can continue his mission. So we'll start with text 47. Rukmini jambabat yajaha puranu tenakarichit mahapremna gata moham darya Panya patam chitao. Rukmini, Jambavati, and other queens, bewildered by an intensity of love they had never felt before, lost their composure, fainted, and fell to the ground. Commentary. Krishna's queens were all noble ladies, careful to behave seriously in public. But the exceptional attraction they at this moment felt for Krishna defeated their gravity. They were accustomed to seeing Krishna dressed as a prince, not a cowherd. Now they could no longer control their emotions and finally could not even retain their outward consciousness. So this is more evidence that Krishna is complete, most complete, in Vrindavan. Krishna is always complete. But the great liberated acharyas, the professors of spiritual science, have analyzed that Krishna is complete in Dwarka. He's more complete in Mathura, and he's most complete in Vrindavan. He's complete in Dwarka because he is the same person. But he doesn't show all of his features. He doesn't display all of his characteristics. And in Mathura, he's called more complete because he shows all of his features, but only sometimes, not all the time. And he's described to be most complete because in Vrindavan, he displays all of his features all of the time. This is because the Vrajvasis' love for him is so powerful and so spontaneous and so selfless that it forces Krishna's qualities to come out. Krishna cannot keep anything back from the Vrajvasis. It's not possible. So here, we see that the Dwarkavasis, who were not allowed by Brahma to go and participate in this drama, because they would be rasavas, they would be not consistent with the mood of Vrindavan that Brahma was trying to direct. But the Dwarkavasis, they are very attached to Krishna, so they could not tolerate staying back in the palace, so they went anyway. And they were told, alright, but you have to hide yourselves. They were hiding in the trees, and they were hiding around in the different places. They were hiding at a distance, so they could watch, but they couldn't be seen by Krishna. Sometimes speculators say that there were three different Krishnas. You sometimes hear that in India, different spiritual philosophers who are speculating about Krishna's pastimes. When they see how Krishna has such different characteristics in Vrindavan, in Mathura, and in Dwarka, they've concluded that there are three different Krishnas, three different persons. They have no access to the spiritual truths of the Absolute, and therefore they can't understand how Krishna can be the same person and expand himself into different forms and exhibit different portions of his personality at different places whenever he wants. Mental speculators don't have access to this truth, these truths. So therefore they can naturally conclude with the material reasoning that there must be three different Krishnas. But it's the same Krishna. It's the same Krishna. But he's not showing everything. And in that sense it's different. So the queens, you know, they were hiding and they were watching, and they had never seen Krishna like this before. Rohini and Balaram, they had seen Krishna like this before because they were in Vrindavan when Krishna was growing up. But the queens, they had never seen Krishna before. Of course, we know that Krishna's associates are like Krishna. Krishna's eternal associates. The eternal original associates of Krishna are not ordinary jivas. They're not ordinary living beings. They are actually transformations of Krishna's person. They are transformations of Krishna and his internal energy. And as such, they expand themselves whenever Krishna expands himself to go anywhere else outside of Vrindavan. They expand themselves in forms that show less of their qualities than they show in Vrindavan in order to reciprocate perfectly with Krishna in his moods, in his different incarnations and different expansions. And we know also from Lalita Madhava and other scriptures, Gopal Champu and other scriptures, the Acharyas have explained that the queens of Dwarka are actually expansions of the gopis. They are actually the gopis. But by Yoga Maya's influence, they forget. When they're in Dwarka, they forget that they're gopis, and that allows them to exhibit their partial love for Krishna as his queens. The love of Krishna's queens is called proper. I can't remember the Sanskrit term. But anyway, there's three kinds of love. There's perfect love, samarthi. The samarthi love of the gopis is perfect because there is no tinge of personal desire for personal pleasure. And the love of the queens is called proper, samanjasa, which means there is very slight, sometimes, tinge of the desire of the queens for their own satisfaction. But it's still called proper. It's still called proper because it is a result of the natural familiarity that comes in a married relationship. It is proper. It is not improper. Then there is another kind of love, which I don't remember the Sanskrit term, but it is kubja. And kubja is called ordinary love. Kubja also has conjugal love for Krishna, but her love is, before she was actually with Krishna, especially, her love was quite prominent in her love, was the desire to satisfy her own senses with Krishna. This was a long-standing desire of Kubja. Because previously, Kubja was Shupanaka, the sister of Ravana. She was a Rakshasi. And she, when she saw Lord Ram, she became smitten. And she decided that she wanted Ram as her husband. But because she was a Rakshasi, she was accustomed to all kinds of sinful acts. So she wanted him then and there, on the spot. So she decided that Sita had to go. Because he said, he told her, when she approached him brazenly like a harlot to proposition him, you become my lover. And Krishna said, my heart belongs to Sita. And Shupanaka said, then I will eat her, and then you will have no one else but me. So Lakshman was nearby, and when she started to make a move to Sita, he drew his sword, cut off her nose and her ears, and she went shrieking in pain back to her brother, Ravana. And he incited in Ravana this hate, this revenge, which would be the downfall of his whole dynasty, not only him, but his whole dynasty would be finished. This is the nature of material attachment, especially the nature of lust between men and women in this material world. It causes all kinds of complications and all kinds of retributions and revenge and all these things. It's all coming from sex, right? Illicit sex, the desire to gratify one's own senses sexually with another person. So anyway, Ravana, you know, prepared himself, and it was a big battle. So while all this was going on, you know, Shripanaka went to Prabhas, I think. Yeah. She went to Prabhas and she did austerities. She lived underneath the water for a long time. And she worshipped Lord Shiva with the purpose of getting Lord Ram as her husband. God. So, finally, after, you know, so many, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of years, Lord Shiva felt compassion for this lady. So he came to her, and what do you want? He said, you please make, you, I know that you can give anything, so you just make Ram my husband. And he knew what the future was, Lord Shiva. So he said, well, it's not possible right now, but in the future you'll take birth in Mathura, and then your desire will be fulfilled. So this was Kubja. So Kubja had long-standing desire, lust, in her heart. It wasn't pure. The love of the gopis is pure. There is no lust. It appears to be like lust. It appears to be relationship between man and woman. But it is no lust. Their happiness is the happiness of Krishna. Even when they are in the fire of separation in Vrindavan and are more or less about to lose their lives, if they hear that Krishna feels unhappy because of that condition they're in, then they change their attitude so that Krishna will not be unhappy. Because their happiness is Krishna happiness. Their happiness is Krishna's happiness. In material consciousness, our happiness is the happiness of our senses and our mind, or our own self. But in spiritual consciousness, our happiness is Krishna's happiness. And to the extent, to the proportion that we have developed that pure desire to please Krishna, even at the expense of our own happiness, to the degree that the gopis showed love, means even Krishna's, their unhappiness would become their happiness if their unhappiness made Krishna unhappy. In other words, Krishna's happiness was their happiness. They had no desire or not a tinge of desire for their own happiness. We cannot taste Krishna consciousness fully without becoming free from the desire for sense gratification completely. And the rules and regulations that we follow, which sometimes are inconvenient, sometimes pinch us in different ways, physically and even psychologically, they are meant to purify our senses and our hearts so that our original desire to please Krishna can become and come out fully without being interfered with by our own desires, by our own personal desires. So the desire to please Krishna is not a personal desire, is not a material desire. The desire to please Krishna, the desire to please, to fulfill the mission of Krishna, is the desire that must be cultivated in spiritual life until it becomes fixed in the heart and free completely of any material contamination. So this is the situation. Krishna is in the mood of Vrindavan. He's in New Vrindavan, he's in Dwarka, but he's in the mood of Vrindavan. And as a result of that, his love is coming out in a certain way. His characteristics, his full characteristics are coming out more than they normally did in Dwarka and Krishna's queens, who had never seen that because they're forgetful. They don't remember that they were gopis before. They're forgetful. And therefore, they become completely bewildered by how attractive Krishna is in his form as a cowherd boy. So they became so emotionally worked up that they actually lost control. And they, anyway, we'll hear about that. Text 48. Vidat chamata sahasatya bhamaya kamasya begat anukurvati muhu alinganam chumbanam apyabhavat dhartum parim bahuyugam parapasaya. Even old Padmavati became intoxicated. Driven by lust, she, as well as Satyabhama, acted out, embracing and kissing Krishna again and again, and ran after him, arms extended, to try to catch him. So this is very bad because, you know, the whole drama is going to be ruined. You know, if the queens and, you know, Padmavati, you know, succeed, then everything will be ruined. The whole show will be lost. But this shows also, this verse shows also that the relationship that you have with Krishna does not depend on your body. You may be in a male body in this world, but you may have eternally a relationship with Krishna as a gopi, or vice versa. You may be in a female body, but you may have a relationship with Krishna as a cowherd boy, or any relationship. That relationship is eternal. Nitya Krishna, Siddha Prema, Sabha Kavanoi. The prema means the relationship you have with Krishna in full love is there, fixed in the heart. It is, we have a relationship, each one of us. And that relationship normally does not change. That relationship normally comes out as we hear and chant and purify our hearts and become familiar with Krishna's pastimes, naturally, by a process of hearing and chanting and purification, not in an artificial way, not in a conscious way, our relationship will come out. We'll become gradually more attached to one place than another place, one person to another person, and gradually it will come out. But the trick is not to force that, not to try to force that. We have to hear and chant all of Krishna's pastimes, and we have to relish all of Krishna's pastimes. Not we discriminate one against the other in order to force our way into a certain relationship. This is maya. Actually, it's mayavad. So here, even Padmavati, who's an old lady, you know, and in a relationship with Krishna as, well, she's Kamsa's mother, so she's got some distant relation, and she's, but she's an old lady, shriveled up old lady, and she's feeling lusty, and she's running after Krishna, like she's going to embrace Krishna. So this is the effect of Krishna. The effect of Krishna, Vrindavan Bihari Krishna. He has this effect on everyone. Text 49. Puratat artha nubabhati vaso katanchit adit yasutabalambya shamam samam pragyabarod madhamena balad vikrishnya bhavaro tategve. Kalindi, the daughter of the sun god, had seen Krishna like this before. Being very intelligent, she somehow calmed herself down. She and Uddhava grabbed Satyabhama and Padmavati and dragged them back. So, commentary. Queen Kalindi in Dwarka and the river Yamuna in Vrindavan are one and the same person. Thus, she alone among the Dwarka queens had known Krishna during his cowherding days. This is at least the external reason why Kalindi, in this situation, was able to stay sober. But the fact is that she also had to struggle to remain calm, just to help Brahma carry out his plan for dispelling Krishna's bewilderment. Kalindi caught hold of Satyabhama, and Uddhava caught Padmavati. So this may sound strange because that, you know, she's the only one who remembers these things, but actually, she's the only one because she was not Krishna's conjugal associate in Vrindavan. She was the river Yamuna. And although she became the queen later on, while she was in Vrindavan, she did not have that conjugal relationship with Krishna. But the queens, they had the conjugal relationship with Krishna as gopis, and therefore Yogamaya caused them to forget. But Kalindi could remember, along with Rohini, how it was. And therefore, she was able to control her emotions better. So her and Uddhava were able to physically grab Satyabhama and Padmavati and prevent them from running after Krishna and ruining the whole show. Text 50. Govinda Devas Tanucharayanga Katap Purastat Abadhim Niriksha Tamanyamano Yamunam Prado Pramodat Sokhin Biharaya Samujabhava. Meanwhile, Lord Govinda went ahead tending his cows. When he saw the ocean before him, he thought it was the Yamuna. And with delight, he called his friends to come play in the river. Commentary, Dig Darshini. The scene now focuses again on Krishna. The Arabian Sea rings Dwarka like a fortress moat, and its dark blue color made Krishna think it was the river Yamuna. Katakutra bayasyasta Shri Dhamam Subalarjuna Sarve Bhavanto Dvabanto Viginayantu Harshata. My dear friends, where have you gone? O Shridam, Subal, Arjun, happily come here quickly. Krishnayam payavityagha viharama yathasukam maduram malashitambu vahinyam abhakhabhyacha. We can let our cows drink from this river Jamuna. And we can play as much as we want, swimming in her gently flowing clear, cool water. This is Krishna consciousness. Of course, Krishna is the Krishna. But even devotees will sometimes, you know, when they're out and about in different places, like Srila Prabhupada, for instance, when he went to New York, he was taking a morning walk and he came upon the Hudson River and he said, oh, we have arrived at the Jamuna. So, Prabhupada was like that. He was always in Vrindavan. When people used to ask him, you know, where he lived and how he tolerated and this and that, he said, I never leave Vrindavan. I'm always in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is a state of consciousness. If our consciousness is properly situated, then we can stay in Vrindavan, wherever we are. That was the greatness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers, especially the Panchatattva. They broke open the storehouse of love of Krishna, this Krishna brain, and distributed it everywhere, and taught people the art of being Krishna conscious, wherever they are. There are great souls who stay in Vrindavan and don't leave and never want to leave and absorb themselves like that. But Prahlad Maharaj says even the greater souls are the ones who sacrifice them. Srila Prabhupada was here 9 years. He was absorbed completely in samadhi, writing his books and going deeply into the pastimes of Krishna, into the Srimad Bhagavatam. And even when he began to go out to Delhi to publish his books, to get them printed, and doing all the things that a preacher had to do in order to distribute Krishna consciousness, some of these people would even criticize Prabhupada for going out. Oh, he's not as advanced, he's going out. We're staying here, we're more advanced. So, Krishna, of course, is different. He's the supreme soul. He never comes under the influence of material energy. But here, he still exhibits these characteristics. He's mistaking the Dwarka Bay as the Jamuna, because he's still in this partly internal consciousness, partly external consciousness. Text 53. Evam agni saran gopir ambuder nikitam gata mahakalola malabhi kola balabato chuta. Thus Lord Achyuta went on further with the cows and neared the sea, where mighty roaring waves came one after another. Sarvato vikshatatide prakatam swam mahapurim alakshatim idam kvabham koham ityahavismato. When Krishna looked around the sea coast, he noticed his own great city visible in the distance. Krishna was surprised and exclaimed, what is this? Where am I? Who am I? Commentary. Coming out of the forest and beholding more clearly the vast water before him, Krishna saw the crashing waves and to the side at a distance a huge city. Addressing no one in particular, Krishna reacted spontaneously with these questions, What is the ocean in front of me? Is there such an ocean in Brajbhumi? Or am I somewhere else? But how can the son of Nanda Maharaj be somewhere else? Or am I someone else? If I am supposed to be a great prince, then why am I so unsuitably dressed? So now he's coming from the, you know, internal consciousness back to his external consciousness, and he's realizing that he's actually, you know, Vasudev Krishna in this time, and he has begun to identify himself with his life in Dwarka and his mission. Itivam sa chamakaram mahurjalpan mahanabhanamam purim chalochayam prokta srimat sankarshanena sa. Astonished, he spoke these words again and again as he gazed at the vast ocean and the city. Then Lord Balaram told him something. Commentary. Krishna was hesitant to decide whether what he was seeing was real or not. His elder brother had to settle the question for him. So, these are the sweet dealings and the sweet truths of Krishna consciousness. How the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Absolute Truth, can exhibit these apparently normal states of consciousness, become bewildered himself, act surprised, make comments that are almost comical, almost seeming crazy, almost, you know. But these things are all the varieties of the spiritual world, the varieties of love for Krishna. The varieties we see in this material world are all a result of the unlimited variety that is there in the spiritual world, which is the prototype of the material world. The material world is created from the prototype, from the original prototype of the spiritual world, where you have the forests of Vrindavan, you have the medium-sized city of Mathura, and you have the big metropolis of Dwarka, capital of a huge area. These are different parts of Goloka, Vrindavan, which by the mystic power of Yoga Maya, powered by Krishna, have eternally descended on the into each universe, and we are fortunate enough to be living within the precincts of that place. And but you can't, you know, buy a ticket to come here. You have to enter these holy dhams by awakening our genuine affection for the dhams, by awakening our genuine affection for Krishna. Sometimes it appears that the residents of one particular dham are more attracted and affectionate for the dham itself than they are even to Krishna. For instance, there's a verse, Jiva Goswami quotes a verse in which the residents of Vrindavan are saying that we don't want to go. We are more attached. We would rather stay in Vrindavan than go to where Krishna is. Means it appears that they're more attached to Vrindavan than they are to Krishna. But then the acharyas clarify that that may be true on one level, but on another level, the differences of the dhams are existing because of the differences of exchanges with the devotees and Krishna, with Krishna in different moods. So actually it's Krishna that's causing their attachment to the dham, even though it may be different attachment than to another dham. It's actually the difference of Krishna and the exchanges that they have with Krishna in the dham that makes them attached to the Dham. So ultimately, that attachment to the Dham is actually an expression of their attachment for Krishna. Therefore, one cannot actually become attached to the Dham without becoming attached to Krishna. So devotees who are residents of the Dham should develop their complete attachment to Krishna in the mood of that Dham. Hare Krishna. Stop there. Questions, comments? You can't force it. The way to do that is to give up the forcing it. You can't force yourself to love Krishna. If you mean, how can I accelerate my progress, then it simply means you have to become more serious. And if you say, how can I become more serious, then the answer Srila Prabhupada gave to that question is, just be more serious. No one else can do that for you. By dedicating one's heart to satisfying the spiritual master and the mission of the spiritual master, and giving up one's personal desires for sense gratification, for aggrandizement, for fame, for being a great devotee, for advancing and becoming a premi, by giving up all these desires, and serving simply for the pleasure of Krishna, simply for the pleasure of the deity, simply for the pleasure of the devotees, for one spiritual master and for the devotees. That is the way to accelerate one's progress. And of course, if you live here in Braj, also by living here, because the pastimes of Krishna are going on eternally, on Apricot, the influence of the Dham is very powerful, and any service that you do in the Dham has accelerated effect. But the offenses you commit also are exaggerated, So if you commit offense in the Dham, then it will be very serious, very strong reaction. So you have to be very careful. Serious means to be attentive to the detail. No one can make you serious. You are either serious or you're not. And by watching and by experiencing and by observing and living in the world, you have to learn yourself by practical experience what is serious and what is not. And then you have to adjust your behavior and become more and more serious inside yourself. No one can do that for you. That is the freedom of the soul. Freedom of the soul is to be serious or not. That is your choice. If you put yourself first, then you can't be serious. You may be a great vairagi and you may look like you're serious, but you're not actually serious. Seriousness in devotional service means to be attentive to your service, attentive to the details of your service. Means the temple room, the temple, your body, own body, your cloth, the surroundings. That's why we make this place as nice as possible. Neophytes, they come here and they criticize us because this place is too nice. Right? The neophytes, they come and they criticize this place because, oh, brahmacharis is such, living in a palace, it's too nice. You should live, it should be dirty and you should be cluttered and it should be, you know, you should live in very hovel, you know, situation. This is because they're envious. And they haven't understood that serious devotees, actual serious devotees, they pay attention to every detail of everything because they see that it's connected to Krishna. And even those great souls who have taken the path of renunciation and who give up all material things, if they're actually on that platform, you notice they're very clean, they're very neat, they're placed. They may not have anything, but what they do have is very nice, it's very organized, it's very neat, because it's for Krishna. They're living in the spiritual world. And this other mentality where you appear disheveled and your cloth is dirty and stained, and you know you don't take care of yourself, you don't take care of the things around you. You go out and you see they have Krishna in these situations where there's dust and dirt and there's no regulation, there's nothing nice to offer him. And you know, and the devotees go there and, oh, look how wonderful, you know. It's being completely neglected. Prabhupada would become disgusted when he saw it and he would want us to make everything like this. So this is seriousness. This is seriousness. Serious means to be attentive to the details of your devotional service. To arrange, to take the austerity, to arrange all the facilities that we have for ourselves and for the deities, for the pleasure of the spiritual master and for Krishna and for the other Vaishnavas. Not that we, you know, envy the leaders who may have more facility than us and try to bring them down to our position or try to get more things for ourselves so that we can get that same facility so that we can move and be seen to be something special. No. Unless one has given up that altogether, he can't stay in the exalted position in spiritual life. So you want to go fast, you want to go now, you have to give everything up, all personal motivation, all personal sense gratification, and then you have to be patient. You can't pretend that you're something that you're not. You can't pretend that you're on a platform that you're not. You have to be who you are now, and you have to take steps to advance according to who you are now under the guidance of superior devotees. And the more you do that, the more you accelerate your progress. But the test of whether or not you've actually accelerated your progress is not that you have this facility or that facility or you have more things or you have this and that, but it is how little you think about yourself and your sense gratification and how happy you are or distressed you are or all these things. You will think of Krishna. The more serious you become, the more you will think of Krishna. The more you will be absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. But that doesn't mean that you walk around in a fog thinking that you're thinking of Krishna and neglect your duties and forget to do things that need to be done for Krishna, for His pleasure, for the pleasure of the devotees, and for preaching Krishna consciousness. Just like we had these Westerners here yesterday. Very nice people. Very simple. They're not devotees actually. They were just people who were coming to the restaurant in Portugal, in Oporto, and they didn't really know that much about. You know, so when we sat down and asked answered their questions, it was all about yoga and this and that and, you know, transcendental meditation and what's the difference and this and that. Very simple, basic things. But because of the atmosphere, because of the cleanliness and because of the, you know, what we're doing here, they became very receptive. And I was told by Radha Govinda afterwards that they are very much impressed and now they want us to go there. They want to come back again. They want to take up chanting. They saw the difference. Yeah, they saw the difference between their transcendental meditation where they pay for a mantra and don't tell anybody, it's secret, you know. They give the same mantra to everybody and then they make them promise, don't tell anybody, and you take your money. And it's, you know, cheating, basically. So they tasted something real. But they were professionals, you know, two lawyers, doctor, psychologists. These were actually, you know, materially kind of like responsible people. And they can't relate to the dirtiness and, you know, the way some people live in the name of spiritual life. So we even give that up. We even give up that clear, just like when Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan, he had nothing. He had just a few paisa he was spending, just for food, a few paisa. That's it. He didn't, you know, he only had one cloth. He had nothing. And yet he went and he took the us, and it was so blissful. He used to tell us. He was so happy. When he was living in Vrindavan, in Radhanarayana temple, and he had nothing, and he was just absorbed in Krishna Katha. So nice, so little trouble. But he took the trouble. He took the trouble to relieve the anxiety that Krishna and Lord Chaitanya have because people are suffering in the material world. He took the trouble himself. And as a result, he got all facility. And he was able to give Krishna consciousness to so many people. Because he was serious. He was serious about following the order of his spiritual master. He was serious about the mission of his spiritual master. He wasn't so much concerned with his own personal spiritual development. He wasn't so concerned about, you know, whether or not he was going to exhibit the symptoms of Krishna prema or not. He didn't care about that. All he cared about was satisfying his spiritual master by executing his mission. So we are all disciples of Srila Prabhupada in this movement, in the sense that he is the Adi Guru, he is the Samstapaka Charja. If you want to feel comfortable in spiritual life with Srila Prabhupada, then the degree to which you sacrifice your own desire for spiritual advancement even, in favor of helping others. And in our case, it means making everything very, very nice and clean and neat and organized and brilliant, shining, everything. You know, the more you have that consciousness, the more you are in Prabhupada's mission. Because then when people come here, they will be attracted. They will see how nice it is. And they will be attracted to Srila Prabhupada and Krishna consciousness. So to be serious means to stop thinking about yourself. And to just serve. Hare Krishna. That's all. It's late. Shri Bhagavatamrita ki jai. Srila Sanatana Goswami Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada.